3. Can y'all shut that door as you walk out back there? Thank you. He was already on it. Oh, the Lord's good. If you're new here, we want you to know that God loves you and he cares about your finances. And every time we have a church service, we spend about 3 or 4 minutes on ministering on your finances and what God thinks about your money. And I think it's very important that you take God serious on your money. And want you to know that God does not need your money. God is not trying to torture you by making you give up 10%. I mean, you got to think about this. If we were all living in the Garden of Eden, the tree would be the tithe, the tree that we weren't supposed to touch. You know how hard it must have been for them to touch that, not to touch that tree? And then some little slithering snake that should have been smashed or shot with a shotgun, amen, when he entered the garden. But no, we give. It's easy to give into temptation and want to keep something that doesn't belong to you. And the tree in the garden was the tithe that didn't belong to us. Neither does the tithe. God wants you to learn how to be a giver, so that He can give to you. Because our God's a giver. We serve a God that gives. He's not a taker. He's a giver. Psalm 143, verse 8, watch what it says here. It says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Now, as it relates to giving, as it said in the first of that verse, it says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. We need to wake up every day ready to give. Not being forced to give or considering within yourself that how painful it must be to give. You have to wake up every morning and develop a pattern or a lifestyle or a heart of giving. I mean, the law of the tithe is the same as the law of the seed time and harvest. You give your time at your job, you get a paycheck. Now, God's just wanting you to give up 10% so that he can find miraculous ways to bring money to you. And he wants to give to you in miraculous, supernatural ways. Man, you should be living every day as if miracles happen in your life daily. And I'm talking the supernatural ones. I'm not talking about somebody walking up to you and giving you, a piece of bubble gum or say, here's $5. Or I'm talking about miraculous things. Things that happen in the supernatural that you're like, I don't know how to explain. Well, you're not supposed to learn how to explain them. You're just supposed to learn how to live with them. Amen? You don't need to explain them. You just need to tell other people about them. Amen? The miracles are for us to experience so that our testimony is, hey, you should hear what happened to me the other day. You got to have those kind of moments. Hey, you got to hear what happened to me the other day. So look for the Lord in the morning. He says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. He says, for in thee do I trust. Now he's talking about trust in the Lord right here. The tithe is nothing more than you trust in the Lord. Trust in him with your finances. Trust in him with your money. Now, if you're new here and maybe your church, where you've gone for years, don't talk about money. That's fine. We understand that, but not in here. Not in this church. We are not afraid to tell you what God thinks about your finances, and it should be very important to you. I mean, more worry and stress is caused over money. Most problems originate with money. So learn how to wake up daily looking for opportunities to give. He says, cause me to know thy way wherein I should walk. Learn how to walk with the Lord. Learn how to walk with him and experience him. And, you know, be looking for him. Be expecting. I mean, you got to wake up every day expecting that God's going to meet you somewhere. He, you know, God doesn't need to sleep. So when you're sleeping, he's just waiting for you to wake up. He's like, man, I can't wait for you to wake up, man. It's going to be fun. Next day's going to be good. I got miracles waiting. Are you going to be ready for him? Are you going to be awake? Are you going to be ready to hear? The Holy Ghost doesn't need to sleep. He goes 24 hours a day thinking and developing opportunities and trying to set you up for supernatural miracles, not just financially. But it sure is fun. The money part's fun, right? Amen? when you do experience miracles financially, they're pretty fun. They're a lot of fun to experience. And he says, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Give up yourself. Lift up yourself to the Lord and tell him and ask him and seek him and tell him, you know, I'm looking. I want experiences with you. I want to experience miracles. I look forward to meeting you every day in my prayer closet or whatever, you know, on the way to work when you're driving or whatever. I look forward to what you have for me. Amen. God wants to bless you. He's looking for ways to bless you. Even when you're asleep in la-la land, dreaming about, you know, unicorns and cotton candy. I don't know. Amen. He's waiting for you to wake up. He's looking forward to the next day. See, the next day to him doesn't really happen. He just lives every day. He don't go to sleep. Every day to us is a new day. But just because you sleep doesn't mean it's a new day. It just means that, you know, you're just waking up in a new day. A new day they call Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. And don't treat Monday like it's Monday. Amen? Make Monday like Friday. Show up to work on Monday and make everybody think it's Friday. Because if you can make every day like Friday, it won't be work anymore. Amen? It won't be work. It'll be fun. You know, Fun Friday and Taco Tuesday should be every day. Amen? Every day. Y'all come give a big round of applause today. Y'all get excited about giving today in Jesus' name. Jody, you want to go ahead and come on up right quick? Jody would like to extend her thanks to you guys. Her husband was pretty much riding, huh? Yeah.
So, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Jody. And on Thursday, my husband was in a severe, near-fatal car accident that he should not have been able to walk away from. On my way to the accident, I'm not going to lie, I forgot how to pray. And the only thing running through my mind is, what am I going to do? And Don Sanders' name popped into my head, so I called him on the phone and asked him if him and Ruby would start praying for my husband. And they said that they wouldn't stop. I got to the hospital, and Ruby, pretty much right there after I was, my husband, his injuries were told to me to be very severe. His CT showed that he had shattered his C2 in his neck. He had broken his T2 and T5 in his, or T4 in his back, broke his sternum, broke his rib, and had a brain bleed. Don and Ruby came to the trauma room too with outstretched arms and started praying for my husband. They also helped get a prayer chain started for him. Ruby went in and she laid hands on my husband's forehead and started praying for him and his healing. My husband went into surgery at 7:15 p.m. on Thursday. Surgery went great. Friday morning, less than 24 hours after his surgery, he was up walking around. Less than 48 hours after his surgery, he was discharged home from the hospital. I can't thank everyone enough for all of your prayers. we've had a community and a church of people reaching out to help from every direction. I can't thank y'all enough, but thank you. And on a side note, I realized that when I was asking for prayers, I feel like I was a very bad Christian. If you worry about your husband, you worry about yourself. We don't know anything about the other driver that hit my husband. But if you could all keep them in your prayers along with their family as well, it would be greatly appreciated.
Amen. Yeah, she wanted to come up and just say a quick thank you, you know, to everybody. I mean, because when you experience something like that, it's like she said, she's just like, you just forget, you know, you don't know what you're thinking. You know, you're going to this car accident. You don't know what the heck is wrong. You don't know how bad it's going to be. But it kind of fits, you know, what we're going to talk about in communion. How you have to trust in the Lord even when you don't know. That's what the tithe is. That's what life is. That's every day. Every day, you know, you wake up, you don't, you know, you have plans. But sometimes the plans don't always go according to how you set them up and in the order you set them up. And, you know, he was in that accident. I mean, it's like being strapped to Tornado the Bucking Bull and just being, you know, hung up and being slung around. I mean, he got the dog whipped out of him on that car accident. And it didn't sound good there for a while. When you break bones in your back, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. You don't know how the rest of your life's going to be. So as we do communion, if you're new here, we do communion once a month. We always do it the first weekend of the month. And this is just to set us up for the next month and remind everyone that we are covered by the blood of Jesus and that we live accordingly. And we trust accordingly. In Hebrews chapter 9, if you want to turn there, you can. If not, just hang out. I'm going to read you a scripture right quick. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." We have to look for him, just like we had mentioned in the tithes and offerings message. Look for him, and he shall appear unto you. If you ain't looking for him, he ain't coming. We are supposed to be moving towards the without sin part. Now, being saved is one thing, but moving towards the meat of the word, as the Bible talks about, getting your mind focused on God and getting away from all those things you used to do, and you start living this new life, what the Bible calls it, calls you a new creature. You become a new creature because the old person died. I'm not talking about a car accident. I'm talking about you giving up the old you and start living the new you. Why? Because you're trying to walk towards the without sin part. Yes, you can walk in perfection. Yes, you can walk without sin. You know how? Choice. Every sin you've ever committed has been a choice. You have to choose not to sin. Does that mean the devil's not going to put thoughts in your head? Of course not. He's going to put stuff in your head every day. He's going to put opportunities in front of you to walk in sin. He's going to create. So you have a plan every day to be successful? Well, so does the devil. The devil has a plan every day to put things in front of you so that he can be successful. Now, it may not cost you your salvation, but he darn sure loves trying to put you in opportunities to sin. Because he wants you in hell with him. And he wants the opposite of everything that God wants. And he thinks that if he can get you to walk in sin, he can cause you to backslide and quit going to church. And then what happens after that? You quit telling people about God. Why? Because you don't know anything about God. And you don't go to church. And you don't learn about God. And you don't walk towards that without sin part. You can walk towards every day without sin in your life. Moving towards, because you saturate your mind with the good stuff and get rid of all the bad stuff. When you start doing things like that, sin is a lot harder to come by. And then every time the devil tries to convince you of something, you just turn around and walk away, or you tell him to leave. Because why? It becomes easier. Because you've become a warrior for God instead of a warrior for Satan. Instead of doing all of his things, you're doing all of God's things. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him. She was driving to that accident. She said, I forgot how to pray. There is no telling what's going to happen. Every day you wake up, there's no telling. You're going to make plans, and they may not go accordingly. But when you look for him, he will meet you. Jesus does not he does not set meetings for you and me. You establish those meetings. He doesn't have a daily agenda that says, I plan on meeting, you know, so-and-so, you know, here, there, or wherever. You establish those. You say, God, I want to meet you, you know, in my prayer closet or whatever. I want to meet you on the road to my job. As we take communion, just remember that God loves you, and he died. He was offered to bear the sins of many in one day. And on the third day, he rose again. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you did for us and what you do for us every day. And how you love us and protect us. Even when it doesn't look good, you protect us. We look for you daily, Lord. We expect miracles in our life daily. And as we take communion, we remember that we are vessels that are able to break. We are broken vessels some days, but we have to learn how to keep ourselves together. And the more we look for you, the easier it is to keep our vessel together. So we look to you in Jesus' name to protect us supernaturally as we take communion and we say thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take. You may eat and drink. You can pass your cups down, and we'll take them up for you. And if you were praying, thank you for taking time out of your day to pray for Jody's husband, James. Just, man, that must have been crazy. It did not sound good at first there. I'm glad. Is he at home now? He is home. Okay. Good. Man, so he's at home, you know, feet propped up, watching football, eating honey. He's got, since they have an unlimited source. Right. Yeah. Well, hallelujah. Okay, so is the youth in the day or out? They're out. They're going out. Okay, so as we dismiss the youth and the kids, I want y'all to clap for the kids, the youth, and Ricky as he brings the word today. Come on up, Ricky.
Well, good morning. I got smart this time. Last communion, that cracker didn't go all the way down with the little bit of juice, so I brought water this time. Because last time it was like, oh my, I should have got two juices instead of one. My goodness. Well, man, I'm excited about the word this morning. It's been honored to get to minister to y'all quite a bit this summer, and it's been good for me. I hope it's been good for y'all, because I've really thoroughly enjoyed it. And just, man, God is so good. And I was laughing Friday. I played in Bandera Friday afternoon, and I was talking to a young man, and he's just kind of new in the Lord. And I told him, I said, you know, 5 years ago, if you'd asked me I was going to be doing this, I'd have laughed at you. In fact, I might have laughed. I think I laughed at Corey when he asked me to do this. But, it, you know, I'm telling you, God is so good, and he moves us to do things that, man, you just don't realize that you can do. But with God's power, you can. So this is going to be an interesting sermon from my point of view, so y'all have to bear with me. I did a little research, and Satan has three lines of attack when he attacks us. Okay, there's three ways that he attacks us. And that is the first one is he tries to keep us from being saved. He don't want us following Jesus. So, but if he can't do that, if he can't keep us from getting saved, the second line of attack is he doesn't want us doing what we're doing. He doesn't want us actively pursuing Jesus Christ and following the Word of God. You see, he wants us off track, is what Howdy was talking about. He wants us sinning because the devil got a plan too. And we got to decide, are we going to follow his plan or Jesus' plan? And then there's the third thing, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. The third thing is he tries to destroy our character. See, if he can't pull the first two off, he tries to destroy our character, and I called it AKA persecution. I happened to experience a little thing not too long ago. And, you know, there was some division thing going on, and God put something on my heart. And I'm going to tell y'all, when God puts it on your heart to do something, don't tell him no. And I did. No, this ain't my fight. So we rocked on for a little while, and God kept, you need to do this. And I'm like, I don't want to get in the middle of this. It's not my deal. I'm good right where I'm at. So finally, I give in, and I do, and it didn't go well. God gave me the solution, and I pitched the solution, and the solution went. Pfft. I'm like, okay, really, God? So the next day, when I get up, I have a private message on Facebook from someone, and they is accusing me of being, I was like, what? And so what I want to talk about today is my reactions were, at first I was like, oh, what? And then my next one was I was hurt. I was like, my goodness, I'm God. What? Wait a minute here. I did what you asked me to do, and this is what I get accused of. Well, then I got ticked off. Then, you know, the shock turned to pain that turned to, okay, God, you get out of the way, baby. You wanted me in this? I'm in it. Well, y'all know me, though. I got my lawnmower out. Went to mowing the yard. Because that's what God does with Ricky. I mean, you know, I spend time with God all day long, but me and him, man, we're really tight. I think up in heaven, see, he's got beautiful lawns, you know. Beautiful. I mean, the greenest thing you ever seen in your life. Golf course light greens. But so I'm mowing the yard, man. I'm out there, you know, I'm giving it to everything. I mean, I am mowing. And God goes, you're going to preach a sermon on this. And I'm like, I can do that, boy, because I'm, oh, whoo. So that's what we're going to talk about is persecution. You know, Paul wrote in Timothy that we will be persecuted. You see, if we're doing what God tells us to do, and that's what we're supposed to all do, we're supposed to follow the Word of God and do what he says. So that shock after reading, it was like, I shouldn't have been surprised, because it says that if we're doing what God tells us to do, we will be persecuted. The other thing was, is the only time we should be surprised is when we're not being persecuted. Because if we're not being persecuted, that means we're probably not digging in as deep as we're supposed to be digging in. Y'all find 2 Timothy. Oh, wow, mine's already turned there. You know, yesterday morning, I was still a little bit of sleep, but the Holy Spirit's like talking to me while I'm still asleep. And Howdy's talking about did communion this morning. And you know, the thing that about communion is it's a celebration of Jesus. We're celebrating what he did for us, you see. And the Holy Spirit was telling me, he goes, you know that persecution thing? We celebrate Jesus because he was persecuted for us. That's the biggest persecution ever, was what Jesus Christ did for us. Man, when they put him on the cross, they persecuted him, y'all. That was for us. And I mean, That's what a way to wake up. You know, the Holy Spirit's going, man, you got to get a hold of this. I said, I am. I wrote it down. Man, I woke up and said, I'm using that tomorrow. That's good. Woo, Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to start on verse 10. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Oh my, if you're not. Oh, everybody's there. That's good. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. Paul's writing to Timothy, of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Y'all, it's right there. You know, it was real interesting because isn't Google a neat thing? Man, whew, I told Laurie the other day that, because I've been preaching about 3 or 4 years now, and I said, boy, I thank God for Google. Because, man, if I had started to have to do this back before they had Google and have to research by hand, I'd have been in the library all the time, or we'd have had too many books. I don't know. Well, never enough for her. But thank God for Google. But it said that persecution against Christians have doubled in the last 3 years. In the last 3 years, it's doubled. Y'all, the devil is ticked off because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. You see, and the only way he has to get to us, because this group, we're active Christians, man. Y'all are walking the walk and talking the talk. So the way he has to get us is through trying to mess with persecution. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Being deceived and deceiving. Well, you know, that was interesting because, you know, Christians can be deceived. And Christians can persecute other Christians. I found that out. You see, because the Christian gets to listen to the wrong thing instead of staying in the Word of God. You know, because you've seen that it says in the last days, people will hear the truth they want to hear. You see, they hear what they want to hear. They don't hear what's in the Word of God. So therefore, they think their thing is right. But we have to stay focused on the Word of God. Verse 14, but continue thou in these things which thou hast learned. We've learned, we're learning the Word of God. And hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Man. You see, if we stay in the Word and we have that knowledge, that keeps us on the right path. But when we get sidetracked and we let those persecution things start getting us in the wrong way, uh-oh. So, there's three types of persecution that the devil will try to use. The first one is verbal insults. The devil has people casting insults at each other. Just like what we see today, and they use stuff against us. And understand that persecution means suffering for religious beliefs. You see, persecution in the Greek is called dioko, D-I-O-K-O. And that means to suffer for our beliefs. You see, you stop and think about that couple in Colorado that owned the cake, the bakery. They got persecuted for their beliefs. Now they ended up winning just recently, you know. But there's a people that could come against a business owner, a Christian business owner, saying, you have to sell me that cake. I had to stop because I was wanting to be ornery. I'm not. But you see, it's happening more and more. And I read that coaches after football games have prayer with their kids. And they're getting suspended for that. Persecution, y'all. Persecution for their beliefs. I read where that cheerleaders, their own banners, they weren't for the school. They put Bible verses on them. They got in trouble for that, y'all. I read about a military man that had come back, and he had a new commander. And the new commander was a female, and she didn't really think same-sex marriage was bad. In fact, she was in one. And she asked the young man, she said, "So how do you feel about that?" And this is a great answer, y'all. He said, "Has nothing to do with the job I'm supposed to be doing." I thought, man, that's a good answer. Yeah. Smart. But guess what? She pushed him, and she kept pushing him. And she said, "I want to know what you think." And he said, "I believe the word of God. I believe the Bible that a man and woman should be married and not a woman and a woman or a man and a man." She had him reassigned and kicked him out of her squadron. You see, it's even in our military, y'all. Persecution for what we believe that's the word of God, that is the truth. And we've got to start watching. You got to be careful. You see, I title this message, "Be Prepared." Be prepared. Because we have to know, I wasn't thinking, but the next morning when I got that message, I was like, what? It hurt. You know, I wasn't prepared. I am now, and I want y'all to be prepared. The second method of persecution is physical, the physical attacks. Like, you're seeing that Christian leaders, I read down in Mexico, they're killing off Christian leaders for leading people to Jesus. You know, we saw not too long ago that Muslims were beheading, ISIS was beheading Christians. That's the physical attack. You see it more overseas, but it's getting over here, y'all. And we're going to have to learn to be able to stand up against those physical attacks. The third method of persecution. And this is kind of like the false accused, being falsely accused. You see, there's two kinds of false accusations. They accuse you to your face, and then they slander you behind your back. And them are hard to fight because you can't defend yourself. So, this is, how do you respond? What do? When somebody comes against you, what are you supposed to do? I mean, you know, the human response, you know, as Pastor Corey says, "God, get out of the way, I got this one." You know, hey, I was there. You know, where it's like, no, God, give me 10 minutes, I'm good. Just 10 minutes is all it's going to take. I'll fix this. See, we can allow ourselves to get in the flesh, but then are we walking like Jesus? Are we doing the right thing if we allow ourselves to get in that flesh? Number two, under the human response, you could have the resentment. You know, and I kind of went through all these at one time. Resentment. You know, that's where you get bitter, and it's like, man, all that does is bother you. Doesn't bother anybody else. You know, nobody else knows. I did. Well, why didn't y'all say so? They're down here laughing. I couldn't figure out what to laugh about. She's going, you skipped one. One was revenge, excuse me. Thank you. See, some people are taking notes in there. They're keeping me honest up here, or straight. Huh? Would I repeat number two? Number two was resentment. Resentment is that when you resent what happens, it's only going to hurt you. They don't know. They don't care. And if they get you to do or react, guess what, y'all? That's what they want. That's what they want. They want you to be ugly. They want you to throw a fit. And then they go, uh-huh, look at him. Uh-huh, look at her. Look what they did. Look how they acted. That's right. Number three, or you can take the self-righteous route. And you can hyper-spiritualize everything. I like that, hyper-spiritualize. You know, that can be the whole, or we can call it the holier than thou. You know, well, how dare them? You know, no, that don't get you anywhere. How do we respond? This morning, as I was studying, the Holy Spirit shows me that not only does how do we respond affect being persecuted, but it's also a good lesson on how do we respond when we're doing things during the day. You see, how we respond to anybody, regardless of what's going on, can affect the people we're dealing with. You see? So that part, I call the human response. We had number one was revenge, number two was resentment, number three was self-righteous. Now we're going to talk about the other kind of response, the Jesus response. The Jesus response, just walk away. The first one is just walk away. You see, in John 8, Jesus was having a tough time with the Jews. They were mad. You know, they were saying Jesus is lying, doing all kinds of things. And he heard that they were going to stone him. So did Jesus fight? No. He hid in the temple, and then he just left with the crowd. And he went on out and did his own business. You see, he just exited. Or it could have been like Matthew. Flip over to Matthew 12. Some of y'all be happy. I don't have as much turning today as normal. Maybe. Matthew 12. Now, at the start of 12, Jesus and the disciples are going through the cornfield and they're picking corn and stuff, and they're not supposed to do that. It's the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees are a little irritated about all this. Well, then they're confronting him about it. And in verse 13, he has a man that has a drawn up hand. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. This really ticked the Pharisees off. I mean, ooh, you healed somebody on the Sabbath. Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him. So here they're plotting. They're going to persecute. How do we get rid of this guy? They're trying to figure out a way to kill him. So verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. And I love this. He left by himself, but great multitudes followed. And he healed them all. He showed the Pharisees, didn't he? You see, because what he did was the Pharisees were ticked off and they were going to try to make an example of Jesus right here. Jesus all goes, oh no, I'm smarter than that. You see, he left. He just left. But he kept doing what he was doing and multitudes of people got healed. So you see, we can use that walking away, number one, as if this comes, somebody comes against you, just walk away. Walk away. I got to use this because Laurie will. Well, anyway, I don't know how many of you ever saw the movie Roadhouse. I love that show. I don't know why. I mean, but Patrick Swayze, you know, was the bouncer. And he was teaching these new guys how to not have problems. You see, because even, I guess, in the bar business, they have problems. I don't know. Anyway, but the bouncers couldn't understand his method. Actually, Patrick Swayze was using biblical stuff in this movie. He'd say, when they were ugly, you get a hold of them and you just be nice. And you walk them to the door. You just be nice. So you just walk away with them. You see? And it worked. Just walk away. Sorry, I had to do that. I don't know why. Number two, guard against compromise. Y'all flip over to 1 Peter.
Please.
1 Peter chapter 3. You know, the easiest way to avoid conflict when stuff like this comes against you to be not persecuted is to live like the world lives. That's what's tempting about that is, I'm tired of being beat up. If you just live like the world, but that's not what we're supposed to do, right? Right. We're supposed to guard against our compromise. Let's start in 10. Chapter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, that means not to do evil, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, that's us, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You see, so if we know this, we don't have to compromise, y'all. We don't have, man, somebody ought to say amen to that. You don't have to compromise. Isn't that good news? Man, don't you get, man, do you remember back in those, and I'm not saying that we compromise to get along. I'm not saying that. You compromise the word of God. You see, back when you were younger and when you did things maybe not as good as you were supposed to do, you compromised your word. You compromised what you knew was right, but you did a minute. It's kind of like Howdy was talking earlier. You're doing something you're not supposed to be doing. You see, but now you don't have to compromise the word of God. Okay? So when somebody comes against you, one thing that we have to do is don't compromise the word. You stand on, because if God puts it on your heart to do something, do it. And there's a reason he wants you to do it. And when you do it, don't compromise the word of God. It's what Pastor Corey talks about. Don't water it down. Okay? If it's here, it's here. Verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if he be followers of that which is good? You see, we're not going to be, we're not going to be hurt. Who's going to bother us if we're doing what is good? Ooh, yeah. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. We have to, now that might be a tough one for us. It was tough for me that next morning. For a minute, I didn't want to be happy, okay? But you understand, I got happy. You see, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I want y'all to listen to verse 15 in the Amplified. But in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. But, now some of y'all might want to underline this here, this but part, if you have the Amplified. But do it courteously and respectfully. Yeah, I know. We're supposed to do it nicely and politely, so y'all might want to underline that. I did. Yeah, some of you out here are going, okay, fine. Didn't want to hear that this morning. Number three, love your enemies. Love your enemies. In Romans 12, it talks about if our enemies hunger, we're to give them food. If our enemies are thirsty, we give them drink. You see, it says we're not supposed to fight evil with evil. We're supposed to overcome evil with good. Now, one thing I found out about this love your enemy thing, I didn't mean it like that, but this loving your enemy, I found when you really focus on that, it does take a little bit of the irritation out, you know? It's kind of like putting cortisone on for a rash or something. You know, the rash will go away or the itching will. If you start working at loving your enemies, then you take that off of you. You see, you take whatever's happened and how they've come against you or whatever's happened, when you start loving on your enemies, then it takes some of that away, you see. Number four, pray for them. Oh, pray for your persecutors. And it means to pray good things for your persecutors, y'all. Because I see some of y'all going, I'll pray for them. I'm going to pray for them. No. Flip over to Matthew. I love the Lord. Isn't he so awesome? Man. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 5. Start verse 43. Verse 43 says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. And this is just amazing. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. In the Amplified, it says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You see, if you go on in the Amplified, it's really cool because it says, to show that you are the children of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the wicked and on the good. Y'all understand that the sun comes up on all of us. And it also says here that when the rain falls, it falls on us as well as those that are doing wrong. So what we have to learn to do is that when we pray, and when you say it's your enemy, I don't look at people that way. They're still my friends and my neighbors and whatever, but I just may not care for them as much as I do somebody else. You see, because enemy, man, we shouldn't look at each other as enemies. We're all Christians and we're all on the same team, or we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be pulling for the same thing. You see, our job is to get people saved. Man, we don't want anybody going to hell because it is a real place. But you see, at times Christians get caught up in, well, I know more than you do. Or, no. You did something because, well, this is what I think. No. Oh, that was the key word. This is what I think. This is what I know. Amen? Is I know the truth. I know what the word says. And the word says to pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. And that's what I'm going to do. Amen? Now, I got to throw this one in because, and I was going to... Laurie saw this last night, and I told her, I said, text me that, because that's good. Number, what was that, number four? Okay, so this will be five. Laurie texted me something, and some of y'all may have saw it, seen it. And it was Vice President Pence. And he tweeted, or it was in USA Today, and it says, anytime I am criticized for my belief in Jesus Christ, I just breathe a prayer of praise. Ooh, that gives me, oh, man. So let's put down there number four is praise, or five is praise. Man, when somebody persecutes you, we ought to be shouting, thank you, Jesus. Because what does that mean? You say, some of the light bulbs just went off. I saw y'all. Either that or you just woke up. I'm telling you, what it means is if we pray a prayer of praise when somebody persecutes us, that means we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? Woo! Man, so that we should be praising, right? Oh, somebody persecutes you for believing in God. Somebody persecuted me for doing what God put on my heart. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Man. That's why, isn't that cool that we have a vice president that says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that praises for being persecuted. Yes, because he's a Christian and he's not afraid to tell anybody about it. Amen. Woo! Okay, this was number five, but this is number six. Number five is take a stand. Number six, thank you. I said that once, but it slipped my mind for something. Take a stand. Because, you know, sometimes we have to. You know, we know about just sometimes you just got to walk away. You know, sometimes we got to pray for them. Sometimes, well, we got to love them all the time. We don't, you know. But sometimes we have to stand up. And it's what we learn here at Cowboy Church is that we stand up with boldness, dadgummit. And we defend what we know is right. Man, that's what we have to learn to do. We can't learn to go, I believe in Jesus. No. Man, you got to stand up and say, you know what? I'm sorry if you were offended or whatever, but I was doing what God told me to do. And if I'm doing what God told me to do, then so what? Be it. I'd rather him be happy with me and everybody else be mad than the other way around, y'all. And if we get that right, if you realize that if we're doing the right things to make God happy, it don't matter. You see, we're living and walking the truth. And that's what we have to do. Now, I'll start closing. What do you laugh? First, yeah. There's good things that come from persecution, from being persecuted. And you might say, well, what's that? And there is, because, well, I read it in the Word. Number one, God manifests strength. Flip to 2 Corinthians real quick. And it's interesting that this scripture was, if you get, is it Bible? No. YouVersion on the phone. Whatever. And it pops up a daily scripture every day. I'd already written this last night, and this was the scripture today, I believe. I thought, thank you, Jesus. I'm on the right track. Now if I could just find 2 Corinthians. I'll get there. Say amen when you're there. Amen. I'm there. You see, what comes of persecution is that we learn to rely on God instead of trying to rely on ourselves. And let's start in verse 9. Yeah, I didn't tell y'all that. Man. Chapter 12. I was getting ahead of myself. There was people doubting I was closing, and it threw me off, see. Verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. When we do it for Christ's sake, y'all, that's when we get built up. You see, when we don't know what to do, and when people come against us, and we start feeling beat down, remember this. Because, see, that's when we turn to him and say, God, I need you more than ever now. I need that strength. Man, I need that strength to be able to pray for them and be able to love them. You see, I want to do the right thing. And the further along in life we go, y'all, that's what we've got to do. We got to learn to do the right thing no matter what. And the right thing is the Word of God. You see, if you'll start putting your sights on that, and when something comes against you and you start to go up, back up, and what's the right thing? Not what I want to do, okay, but what does God want me to do? How does God want me to handle this? Because if you ask Him, He'll tell you. God will tell you, stand up with boldness. Nope, walk away this time. Or you might just want to pray for him. Because there's good news for persecution, y'all. Number two, blessed in persecution. There's blessings in persecution. I'm going to read y'all Matthew 5, 10, 11, and 12. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Woo! Man, you see, when we get persecuted for doing the right thing, man, we are blessed because we get the kingdom of heaven, y'all. Amen. Verse 11, blessed are ye which men shall revile you, revile means to defame, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you, falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Amen. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So y'all, what we have to remember is that when people come against you, be prepared. When they come against you, start thinking about the blessings of being persecuted. That, man, I got the kingdom of heaven. I'm getting rewards built up there because I'm not going to go and throat chop them. You see? That I'm going to do the right thing. You know, no throat chopping, no, you know. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Number three, be ready. First Peter 5. And I'm almost closed. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. It says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after thee have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. You see, he's going to take care of us. He's going to take, when we've gone through this, because we know the Word says that we're going to go through things. And the Word says to count it all joy. Now, sometimes that's a stretch for some of us. That when we're going through things, it's hard to count it joy. But it is, y'all. Because remember, the joy of the Lord is not the same as happiness. Happiness comes and goes, but the joy of the Lord is there. And we have to learn to remember that. And this is the best one of all. God is our super avenger. You don't believe me? Romans 12. Turn to Romans 12 real quick. God will vindicate us. Man, this one's a good one. Well, it's all good. I love this one. It sure helped me. Romans 12. Romans 12. We'll start in verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19. Y'all listen to this. Underline it. Highlight it. Write it down. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance, which is capitalized, is mine, with the capital M. God's got it, y'all. It tells us right there. He's going to take care of it. We don't have to. Whoo, thank you, Jesus. Because if I try to take care of it, I'm probably going to mess it up. I will repay, saith the Lord. Listen to verse 19, and then I'm done. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath. Leave it open. So that means don't try to do it yourself. Leave that open, because guess who's going to come in? God the super avenger. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Ooh, I like that. He will repay, says the Lord. Man. I'm glad I have a super avenger. You know what? We don't have to look at Captain America and, you know, all that stuff that they have. You know, those are fun to watch and for the kids. But we've got the ultimate superhero. And that's God, the super avenger. Do you have Jesus in your life? Have you asked Jesus to come into your life and save you? We'd never do a service without giving somebody an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And right now, we'd like to do that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and be the Lord of your life, today's your day. And I ask you, please, do it today. Hell's a real place, y'all. And if you don't know Jesus, man, I just ask you today to give your life to Jesus. You see, when people come against you, you have that somebody's got your back. That he's our protector. He's our vindicator. He's our super avenger. Man, I want you to have that today. We're not going to ask you to come down the front or embarrass you, but we're just going to ask you in just a minute. We're going to pray a prayer, and right where you're sitting, we want you to pray that prayer out loud, but you're not going to pray it by yourself. We're going to ask the believers to pray it with you. Man, just feel the draw. Just accept Jesus today, I ask you. So repeat after me. Father in heaven, I ask you to come into my heart and save me. I believe you sent Jesus to die for me. And he rose on the third day. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. And I thank you for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I thank you now that God, you're my super vindicator. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed still and every eye closed, if you just said that prayer for the first time and accepted Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to ask you on the count of three to just put your hand up real quick, and we're going to give you a Bible. Nobody's looking around. And get that Bible to you. There's a card in there if you'd fill it out and put it in the offering bucket before we leave. But be bold. If you just said that prayer for the first time today, to raise your hand on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Anybody? Anybody? We'll give you a minute. All right. Everybody look here. Amen. Did y'all have a good time this morning? All right. Well, we're going to turn it back over to Howdy.